today on Older and Wiser.
Are you sick and tired of telemarketers? A new survey reveals who's getting all the calls.
It's me. Hey, if you think having kids is the key to happiness, a recent poll suggests not even close.
Today, we'll reveal what people hate most about supermarkets and a few cosmetic procedures women want their men to consider.
Plus, the official list of America's favorite chain restaurants today on Older and Wiser. I don't know about you, but every single day of the week, I get three calls from telemarketers. Well, I assume they're telemarketers. I've gotten to the point where I stop picking up the phone. Do you get these calls?
Once in a while, I do. Here's what I do. As soon as I pick up the phone, if there's a live person on there,
the first thing out of my mouth is,
in one breath, hi, please put me on your do not call list.
I guess that's the respectful thing to do. I went through a period where I was playing along. Like, I'd go, well, hello, what do you got for me today? You know, and then I'd talk, and then they'd start selling me, and I'd just go, well, that sounds really, really interesting. Well, that costs me a lot. Where can I send my check? You know? And that was dumb, you know, but
yeah,
I was having
fun.
Probably
put you on 11 more lists for every time you said something.
It was enjoyable for me. I got a little thrill out of it. First of all, did you know that 89% of Americans, this is almost 9 out of 10 receive unwanted calls every month. That's almost all of us. So this is a real common problem.
I'm a little surprised. I'm not going to say I'm not totally surprised. I am somewhat surprised that it's not lower at this point because people, you know, when you see an 800 number, you don't recognize the number. It's not a name or something you recognize. Why do you pick up the phone? If you keep picking up the phone, this just perpetuates the problem.
And whatever happened to this do not call list? That thing doesn't work. I'm telling you. We are on it, but it doesn't. No one cares. I'll tell you that much.
Just don't pick up the phone.
According to this new survey of the top five telephone scams, 11% of U.S. adults, according to this survey, have been a victim of a telephone scam. Of those scammed, get this, 20% say they lost between $500 and $10,000.
Oh my gosh.
How can you? I'm sorry. But
I know what you want to say. You want to say, how can anybody be so stupid or gullible?
I know. I mean, I don't want to offend anybody, but
if you don't start the call, don't give out any sensitive information.
Absolutely. Even if it's, hello, this is your bank calling, and we found a problem with your account. What you got to say is, thank you. I'll call my bank and straighten it out.
I'll call, you know how to get in touch with your if you've got an account, you know the bank number, you could go to the bank if you want.
Yeah.
There's a million ways to do that are a lot more secure, and you know who you're dealing with as opposed to dealing with some stranger starting. This is the IRS scam too. They were saying they were calling people and scaring them into, "Oh, you owe a lot of money, if you don't call, bad things are going to happen."
The IRS does not call people.
Like
That's the first thing.
That's right. I knew that. Because whenever there's a problem where they say, hey, you forgot to put, you know, X on the line or something, it's always by mail.
Yeah, always.
I'm afraid somebody's going to come to my door and have lights and cameras and say, you just won the Publisher's Clearinghouse. And I'm going to go, yeah, get out of here. And they're going to have to knock on the door 16 times because they're going to say, it's really legit. And I'm not going to believe it.
According to this survey, 60% of people claim to get repeated calls from the same organization.
They keep trying.
And you tell them to stop and they keep calling. Have you gotten one of those?
No, because I don't answer the phone most of the time. When I see 800 or 888, I look at the phone and it doesn't even get me to pick it up.
All right. Moving on to our next survey. This one comes from Inc.com. New study reveals one surprising fact about the happiness of parents. And basically what this says, you know, we always thought that having kids was the secret to happiness. People who have children are just happier people than people who don't have children. According to this survey, it's just the other way.
Who thought that, Bob?
Well, all of us who have kids just assume that's
I don't have children. And I mean, other than the fact that you think, well, who's going to take care of me when I'm old? I have to tell you, that's a problem that you really can't solve with kids.
You opted not to have children. Do you feel like you paid a penalty on the happiness scale in any way?
No. I mean, there are times when I see friends of mine who have kids and they are happy and proud that they graduated high school or, you know, or did something wonderful or got married or came over. But it's expensive, number one. It's more expensive now than many years ago, not even that
many.
It's
very expensive to be a parent.
So if you cannot do it, or you don't have, and you're both not on board, and I think that's important too.
Yeah.
I think one can't say, well, you want kids and I don't, but so we'll have them.
Well, everybody's experience with child rearing is different, of course, and some people's stories are heartbreaking and very, very difficult. At the very least, it is stressful. And according to this survey done by the University of Texas, there is, in fact, a happiness gap or a happiness penalty that people pay when they decide to have kids. They studied this through 22 countries and confirmed that parents are, in fact, less happy than non-parents. So I think that's very interesting. I mean, I always would have assumed it was the other way around. But if you're going to have kids, according to the statistics, you are more likely to be less happy than if you decide not to have kids.
A lot of people will say you have more freedom when you don't have children.
Yeah, you have more freedom, absolutely. And you can sort of make your own track. You can just do the things that make you happy.
That's right. And most people will then jump to, well, that's selfish. You should have children because otherwise you're being selfish. And I'm thinking, no, I think it would be selfish if I had children for the wrong reasons.
One of the interesting things in this survey that they discovered was that parents in the United States paid the greatest happiness penalty of all. Much greater, 13% higher than in countries like the UK and in Australia. Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird that United States parents are less happy than parents in the UK and Australia?
But a lot of those other countries, don't they support child care or affordable child care, or you can bring your, they'll do something, or you can have paternity leave.
Sick days.
It's like, what do you mean? You know, I'm not going to pay for that. I mean, it's expensive to have children. I don't have to tell you that. You've got them.
Yeah.
And they give you back so much. But you know, sometimes it's expensive. You raise the kid and guess what? You know, they turn out to be real problems and you don't know what to do.
Here's the solution. Get a kitten and all you've got to really worry about is the kitty litter and some cat food.
Do you have the money for this? I mean, you have to think all this through.
Yeah, think
people
it through.
People just go, oh, it'd be cute to have. And, you know, and sometimes people fill that blank in with a baby that looks like me. Guess
that's
what?
Often how it starts. This would be fun. Let's try it.
You have to think it through.
Well, there's a penalty to pay, as we found out. Okay, moving on. Our next survey comes to us from news.com.au. The headline is, "This is why we hate supermarkets." First of all, I don't hate supermarkets. I kind of like going to the grocery store, to be honest with you. But a lot of people do, and there's a lot of problems that shoppers have when they go to the supermarket. According to this, the number one complaint is the checkout line. 24% of respondents said this is their biggest gripe. They hate the long lines.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have them so bad at our local grocery stores. So.
And Trader Joe's, they'll go, what do they go, three's a crowd or something, and they'll ring the bell, and then they'll open up another check. I mean, the trick to that is to have enough checkouts.
Yeah. And the management needs to see the lines getting long and then open more checkouts. As long as I see them trying. 22% of people said they hate it when things are sold out.
Uh-huh.
Well, do you have that? I don't really have that.
I don't encounter that much. I mean, I assume that if you know that there's something that you're going to use and it's popular,
yeah,
then probably it makes sense in terms of your time, your gasoline, your car, if you drove there, To get a couple at one time.
Some people also complain about blocked aisles. You know, that's not so. But, you know, they got to stock the aisles sometime, and they got to bring their little carts and their boxes in to stock the aisles. I'm not upset by that.
Yeah, that's temporary.
Misbehaving children.
Also temporary. I mean, you know,
and the stores can't prevent that. There's nothing they can do about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably more embarrassing for the parent of the misbehaving child, I would think.
10% of people don't like these self-service checkouts because they seem to break down a lot. What do you like them, the self-service ones?
I'll tell you why. I used one once, and it was the one time that the particular store, I won't mention the name, got hacked or something, and I had to undo and redo some credit card because I used it there. It was the one time I did it, and boom. And I thought, that's it. I'm not doing that again.
I remember when the first time we saw those self-service aisles at the grocery store, I thought, oh boy, there go the cashier's jobs. You know, that's now they're asking us to check our own selves out of the grocery store. But it has eased the traffic in the store. Things are faster now. It's one of those things that the young people think, the self-serve checkout, you'll see all the kids in there.
Yeah,
and you know, you'll see the old people going to the regular cashier lines.
The thing that bothered me about the supermarket, and they left it out, was when the supermarkets are too freaking big. And let me tell you why.
You got to walk too far.
I mean, it's like they're trying to sell us everything.
What do you want them to do about it? You're saying they have too many items.
Yes, oh. I think you're trying to be everything. I mean, now they're a health food store. I mean, they do produce and they do a deli meats or something.
Yeah,
now they
you
do,
don't like
now
that.
Now they do salads. Now they do dinner to go. Now
I see.
They do, you know. And
so you'd rather have fewer items to make it simpler to shop? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think so. Because most of us are not going to buy all those things all the time.
Okay. Just don't walk over there. I'm just saying, if you don't want to buy things in the deli, just don't walk over to the deli. I don't know. It confuses you.
Well,
you
know, I don't have to be tempted every minute either.
Oh, my God. Don't. Yeah. What you're basically saying is don't show me a lot of nice things that I might want to buy because then I'll want to buy them.
I don't want to be in the Garden of Eden. I just want to go to Safeway, get in and get out, okay? But mostly, I'm going to be a Trader Joe's. I'm sorry.
Oh, goodness sake. Gosh. Oh, dear. All right, now we got to move on to the next item, which is from businesswire.com, the headline, What Women Want, Aesthetic Procedures Women Wish Their Men Would Consider. So in other words, this survey asked a bunch of women, what aesthetic surgical procedure would you like your man to try?
You know, most of this I don't care about. I mean, all right, a guy's gut, if it's hanging out, you know, from here to Montana, then I think he's got to do something to tighten that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Plastic surgery, you know, to me, you probably look at that and you'd see that what you spend on that and you think, you know, we could take a nice trip or a cruise for that.
Well, first of all, if you're a woman married to a man who wants to get his eyes lifted, wouldn't you be a little concerned? Why are you getting your eyes lifted? Are you thinking of having an affair? I mean, I've already married you. So who are you doing this for?
Mm-hmm.
You know
well, he might be doing it for himself. He might also be doing it for professional reasons if he's still in the workplace or wants to start his own business. Mm-hmm. He may just want to feel better about himself. But
is it less than manly to be too concerned about your physical appearance?
Oh, I don't know if it's manly. I think it's the age we live in. For gosh sakes, everybody's taking selfies. How much more vain is that?
Yeah, I guess that's right.
I mean,
it's just something about
pictures of themselves. Who's my favorite topic? Me. Let me get myself thinking that. You know.
Well, anyway, according to this survey, all these women that they talked to, almost 60% said the first thing that they think of that they might sort of hope that their significant other would kind of work on is their spare tire, their gut.
Mm-hmm.
Because men, that's where it goes, right? When we get a little bit older,
well, I get news
it goes
for
right
it goes there.
There
for women, too.
For men, it's always right over the belt for some reason. I don't know why.
No.
The 76% actually said the skin on my guy's face is showing signs of wear and tear. So I don't know whether they mean by that it needs a moisturizer or it's just starting to sag.
If he's starting to look like is it a Sharpei? Is that the dog that has all the hanging?
Yeah, that's kind of funny. In the survey, they did kind of ask, does your husband or boyfriend look like a greyhound puppy, B, a golden retriever, or C, a Sharpei? You know, it's sort of like, well, that's pretty bad if your face is sagging that much.
They didn't use that there.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Okay.
Over 50% of these women answered, they think their man is just right. How about that?
You know, I think most people, if you're in a relationship and it's healthy, even if it's, let's say you're older and wiser, at that point, there's got to be something more to the relationship than just how you look.
70% of these women say they wouldn't mind it if their guys would have laser hair removal. So they had too much hair front and back and up and high and low. You know, we've talked about that before.
Yeah, I know. You know, I think a lot of this stuff is very superfluous. And when it comes down to the real important things in life, these are not those things.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's pretty good. Moving on, here's an interesting survey. Comes to us from New York, apparently published by WCVB.com. This is the Customer Satisfaction Index Restaurant Report, and it was released this week. And according to this, the number one fast food restaurant in America is, it is Chick-fil-A. Never been to one, have you?
No.
How have we missed the most popular... restaurant?
Not frequent.
That's the number one fast food restaurant in America. The top ranking fast food restaurant, Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Papa John's. Number three, Little Caesars. Number four, Panera.
I've been to Panera.
Yeah. You know what's good about Panera? I don't know what they're like everywhere, but we have one in LA. And, you know, it's got coffee you can get, and they have pretty good coffee. But unlike Starbucks, where it's always jam packed, there's no place to sit. Panera seems a little more open. You know, you can kind of, and there's food. You could eat there as well.
Yeah, I like the food. I think, I mean, their breads are good. Not that I'm supposed to eat bread. And their salads seem very fresh and tasty. So, I mean, anything I've had there, I can't say I've had a bad meal there. Mm-hmm. You can certainly go pick it up and take it home if you want. The atmosphere is okay. It's not spectacular. But you can, you can do things there. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Number five on the list is Arby's. Number six, Dunkin' Donuts.
I used to go to Dunkin' Donuts years ago.
Did you say Dunkin' Donuts?
Dunkin' Donuts. We used to call it Dunkin' Donuts in college. Boy, was it. It was good. It was the worst thing for us, I'm sure. But boy, were they good
but
donuts.
But at 2 in the morning, nothing's better than a glazed donut or a couple of them. Mm. Number seven on the list is Subway. Number eight, Chipotle. I always say Chipotle. It's Chipotle. Okay. My kids hate me when I say Chipotle. Dad, it's Chipotle, not Chipotle.
Okay.
Number nine, Domino's, and number 10, KFC.
You know, KFC, I will tell you this. KFC, we used to go there for, what was it?
Coleslaw.
Absolutely.
I knew you were going to say coleslaw. My wife insists that we go and pick up the coleslaw at KFC.
We did the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't that funny?
Anytime we ever had people over for that kind of meal, we always say, we're getting the coleslaw at KFC. I'm not even going to try to make it. Nope. KFC is
you're
the
first person I've met that does that as well. Isn't that interesting?
Well, great minds think alike.
It's my wife's favorite coleslaw is at KFC. She won't even make it herself. She just said, we'll just get some at KFC.
Right. It's not even worth getting the, you know, the grater out of them.
You don't need the chicken. I don't need the potatoes, but the coleslaw, very good.
The best.
McDonald's, interestingly, did not even show up on the list of the top 10 fast food restaurants. How about that?
And I haven't been there in a long time. I mean, I will still say, when I have gone there, their French fries are really good. As a matter of fact, whenever I overdid it, and the next morning, I had one too many glasses of wine, I would drive myself to McDonald's and drive to the drive-thru and get myself a poke of those French fries and eat them in the car. By the time I drove home, I felt better.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Hangover cure. We've always thought the grease somehow soaks up the alcohol.
Not a scientist.
I don't think there's any scientific proof to that at all, but
you don't want to do that often.
No, not too often. Also this week, we got the list of full-service restaurants that ranked the highest in the industry. And here's the list. Number one, Cracker Barrel. I don't think I've ever even been to a Cracker Barrel.
Me neither. Go ahead.
Number two is Longhorn Steakhouse. Haven't been there.
I'm not a steak eater.
Number three, Texas Roadhouse. It sounds really good, like a party's going on there, but I've never been to one of those. Number four is Olive Garden.
I think I've been to that. It's not bad.
My mom used to like Olive Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the breadsticks are like fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Number five, Red Robin. That's pretty good if you got a family. Food's pretty good there. Applebee's, number six. Applebee's. Number seven, Red Lobster.
Red Lobster. When Red Lobster is having their specials, because the second word in the name is the reason I would go.
Number eight on the list is Ruby Tuesday. Number nine is TGI Fridays. Boy.
A lot of young people used to go there and try to meet somebody.
Yeah. I don't know if they still have this, if it's just a restaurant these days or if it's also a bar and a nightclub-y kind of a thing. But back in the 70s, late 70s and early 80s, TGI Fridays was the place you would go, literally on Friday night. Yeah. And there'd be a dance floor and there'd be a band. And, you know, I don't think they do that anymore, but maybe they do. I don't know.
Hmm.
Those are the good old days, TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
Number 10, Outback Steakhouse. Number 11, Chili's. Never been there. And number 12, Denny's.
Now, I'm surprised that's 12 because Denny's, which I would go there for breakfast.
just breakfast. Yeah.
Just breakfast. Yeah. I don't think I've ever done anything else. And I think, I could be wrong about this, but I have a feeling it may be one of those places where you can get breakfast all day.
All right. Well, let's move on. We didn't even put this story in the billboard at the top of the show because I didn't know that we should even do it. But I popped it in here. And if you want to talk about this, Susan, I know you know a lot about this next topic. Here's the survey. It's actually from TeenVogue.com. The survey is what Americans really think about periods.
Well, first of all, it's proof yet again that God really is a man.
What to have created this whole system?
The truth of the matter is, it's a pain in the neck. It costs money to address and take care of every month. Cramps are no fun, and it's inconvenient.
Frankly, any bleeding that I have, I consider it an emergency. Okay. According to this survey done by the website Whisper, what's interesting to me is that 50,000 women were willing and happy to talk about their menstrual issue, which says something about women. And you're a woman, so why don't you tell me, is it true that women really enjoy, or at least are perfectly happy to discuss among other women, menstruation?
Okay, enjoy and happy are not the two words that even come up with this, at least. I mean, you talk about it with your girlfriends.
Yeah.
People would say, oh, in college, everybody in the same suite or the same room is going to have the same time of the month at the same time of the month, literally.
Yeah. But I guess what I'm asking is, as a woman, you get together regularly with your friends. How often in the conversation does somebody in the group mention their period? Almost every time? I bet almost
every
time.
Well, I don't know now because all my friends are, we're all older and wiser.
But it's common, right? It's pretty
common. And freer. We don't have this anymore.
Yeah, no.
I'll tell you what is difficult and what you will talk about sometimes is that, and in college this happened a lot, in a dorm. If people had cramps, that could just be painful. I don't miss it. That's all I can tell you. And I have a feeling that most women, if they tell you the truth, would say the same.
You're gladly past all that, and you can just smile in a happy memory of what it
absolutely
used to be like.
Yeah, yeah. I know. The happiness is that it's done.
It's all over for you.
It's so fun.
Forever and ever. Mm-hmm. Susan Sikora, thank you again for joining us. We had another good week on Older and Wiser.
Okay, Bob.
And we'll see you next time. And for all the news and information for baby boomers and beyond, be sure to check us out at olderandwiser.com. And to read more about the surveys that we talked about today, just click on the Survey Says tab and check us out. See you next time.